If you turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 19, while you're doing that, there will not be a Bible study at my home this Thursday evening. We have an executive council meeting, and I must be at that. We're in Acts chapter 19, and if I could have that overhead, please, I'd appreciate that. We have reached Ephesus. Paul and his journeys has reached this area of Ephesus, and we see that right here on our map. Remember, he traveled from Jerusalem up to Antioch of Syria, and all the way over, revisiting the churches he was a part of, and eventually ended up at Ephesus right here. Now, it's significant because other team members have joined him, Paul and Silas, traveling from Athens. They traveled over to Ephesus and were part of Paul's team there at Ephesus. Ephesus is a very significant city for us in the Scriptures. I don't know if you're aware of it, but Paul wrote to Timothy at Ephesus. Paul had assigned Timothy to remain at Ephesus to set in order the things that were wanting. Ephesus had some significant believers there, but it also had significant problems. No church is without significant believers and significant problems. It's just part of the work of God in that men and women who want to serve the Lord, the devil is always at hand, always trying to thwart the work of God. And we can either allow him to succeed in his discouragement, or we can stand fast and push forward and honor God with our lives. So at Ephesus, it's also believed. It's believed historically. We're not sure about this. But when John was writing his letters, he wrote to Ephesus in the little epistles of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He was literally writing to Ephesus. Remember, there was a man in Ephesus at that time, Demetrius. He loves the accolades of men. He would not allow John to come. He would not allow anyone to come and speak but he himself. So Paul now has traveled to Ephesus. He's speaking boldly. He's been there for about for several months. He's now going to continue on for about a 2.5-year period of time. But in the process, we read in verse 11 that God wrought special miracles by the hands of the Apostle Paul. You recall last week I said these special miracles were unique. They were something very uniquely done. The word special really does not make it as far as our language is concerned. The King James says that they were unique, unusual. The King James and New King James really do not bring the full emphasis of these miracles. They were very extraordinary. They were very unique, very special miracles in which God did the very miraculous by the Apostle Paul, in most cases, never again to be repeated. And I mentioned there are people today who are trying to emulate these miracles by sending out what they call prayer cloths. I don't know if anyone's ever received them. I have received some in the mail. These prayer cloths come in their little swatches of material. And the most recent one I received, the man said, put it under your pillow and pray over it for a number of days and it will bring you the miraculous. However, you do need to send a slight donation for the miraculous to be enacted. Like Clearinghouse Publishers or something, you have to buy their magazines before you can be available for receiving their prize. At least that's what I've experienced in my wanting to get a Clearinghouse Publishers prize. Anyway, let's go on a little further here. So Paul, these special miracles were enacted by God through the Apostle Paul. We saw that that's not unusual in Scriptures. God used some very extraordinary objects to accomplish His will. For example, Moses' rod, the rod that Moses had. Moses touched the water. Moses held it up to the sky. Moses touched the sea. God did unique things through a stick. And now these handkerchiefs. I mentioned the word there has to do with skin. So it was literally his sweat rag that he would keep in his pocket to clean the perspiration off his face. They would take pieces of that and send it to people, and people would literally be healed by that. Also, his apron. This would be a work apron that he would wear to keep the tent material, the leather, from staining his garments. They cut that up and they sent it to people. God used the shadow of a Peter. God used very unique objects to accomplish a unique healing, never again to be repeated. Very similar to the Lord Jesus when a woman just wanted to touch the hem of his garment to be healed. Again, these are not to be repeated. They were simply for the time period. And what they did is to authenticate the ministry of the Apostle Paul. They were sign miracles. Paul later wrote back to the Corinthians. He said, the signs of an apostle were purely wrought among you. And from these objects, people were healed physically, and others were healed spiritually through demonic possession would be taken out of them. The demons would leave them. I want to emphasize this, please. It's important that we see that these were unique, specific sign miracles to authenticate the message in the messenger. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Just quickly, we're coming back to Acts chapter 19. Hebrews chapter 1. Today we are inundated with these types of miracles that people want. People want signs and people want wonders. Well, the apostle tells us in Hebrews chapter 1, this is one of the issues that clouds the thought of Paul being the author of the book of Hebrews. Because the writer of Hebrews mentions this in Hebrews chapter 1. Notice, please, in verses 3 and 4, we read this, talking to Christians, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Not talking about rejecting salvation, but neglecting it. God has given unto you eternal life. What do you do with it? How do you handle it? What do you do to serve him? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? See, it's the third generation. The Lord, the miraculous by the apostles, and then there were those of us who heard him. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing witness, literally them in the Greek. It's them. God bearing those people witness. How did that happen? With both signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. I have you in the wrong place, right? That's why you're looking at me funny, isn't it? I want you to go to chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. That was a test and you failed. Chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. How shall we escape again? So there was a generational thing. As the Lord, the signs and wonders were given to the apostles and the prophets, and they in turn performed the miraculous. And notice what the writer says, God bore them witness with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. So it was something not to be repeated. Why? Because it was for the completion of the Word of God. It was to authenticate both the message and the messenger. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, please. The book of 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We have difficulties at our church. You don't always know it, but we have people visiting.